The views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of FMR.
Fine Music Radio.
Book Choice. Publisher's Choice with Paige Nick.
Good morning, listeners, friends, music lovers, hopefully book lovers too. My name is Paige Nick, and you are tuned into our Monday edition of Book Choice here on Fine Music Radio. And today's special edition show is our Publisher's Choice show, and it is sponsored by Exclusive Books. But it's not just sponsored by Exclusive Books. We are joined by three of South Africa's top publishers and, of course, our friends at Exclusive Books. And we're going to have lots of interviews, lots of conversations, and lots of discussions about all the books that are coming up in the next couple of months. My name is Paige Nick, as I mentioned. I'm your host on today's show. I'm also an author. I created a book club on Facebook called the Good Book Appreciation Society, which has 25,000 members. And I spend far too much of my time reading books, talking about books, listening to books, handing books over to people, buying books, and stacking up huge piles to read in my home everywhere. So I'm very excited to be here for a full hour to chat to you about books. I'm going to jump straight in because we have a massive show today and I don't want to run out of time. We're going to start with Exclusive Books. Vanessa Levenstein is here, and she is chatting to FEMS. If you haven't heard of FEMS, FEMS is an internet sensation. She's recipe creator, she's a cookbook writer, and she's so much more. She has so many fans. They come out in their droves to support her. They are buying this book in their many thousands. And when you hear her chatting now, and when you meet her or chat her or even read her book, you can feel her passion for the food that she cooks and the work that she does. It just comes alive. And Vanessa has an equal passion, so I think you're going to enjoy this segment. Welcome to the show, to the Exclusive Books team, to Vanessa and to FEMS. We want to hear all about damn good food.
She's bold, spicy, and sweet. Little wonder Femida Jordan, known as FEMS, has all the right ingredients to be an online foodie celeb social media sensation. Her personality is freshly squeezed and her laughter infectious. FEMS presents an authentic, unfiltered life in her kitchen. You can hear kids in the background, and it feels as if you're sitting there with her, laughing, tasting, and stirring. FEMS is locally lekker. Her cooking reflects her Muslim heritage and her love of family. So, this is all fabulous online. But how do spicy jam chops, prawn coconut curry, and FEM cakes translate into a book? After all, FEMS has a big personality. What a job to try and capture this in print. Damn Good Food is an aesthetic feast, and special mention must be made of the designers, photographers, and stylists. The colors are bold and bright, and the images of FEMS, almost as cut-out dolls, have a retro look that really pops. I'm not a foodie and certainly not a baker, but I thought the only way to speak to the success of FEMS cookbook is to try a recipe, and the proof was not in the pudding, but in the Indian spiced shortbread biscuits. Naan Katai. They were so easy to make and a huge success, so much so that my husband said they were the best biscuits he'd ever eaten. Joining us via Zoom is FEMS, and firstly wishing you well over the holy month of Ramadan.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited.
And it's quite apt as chapter 5 is titled Ramadan Moments. Talk to me about...
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, so you want to actually get this book now. Talk to me about the journey from online to print, and what were the challenges?
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's actually quite exciting. I the way you introed me was something else. That's the best intro I've ever heard in my life. I'll be very honest with you. I want to say the transition was easy. The transition was super daunting. It's not a simple thing to think, how am I going to translate something I do online where I'm so loud and I try and be sort of as me can be online. And I didn't know how that would translate into print. I think that's probably one of the reasons why I resisted the cookbook at first, because I thought, how are people going to understand that it's me? How are they going to see me in a print form? Mm. And do they want to, you know? And I have to say, it depends on the publisher you have. I have an incredible team. My publisher put together this team that just rallied around me. That was incredible. In fact, the first conversation I had with Lindy, I said, if you can understand who I am, then I can do a book with you. And she came back with this, like, with this little, it was just like a one pager, and it was just visual. And she and Hannes put this together, and Hannes is the food stylist. And it was literally as if they had put me on a page. And I thought, okay, you understand who I am. And when they could do that, I knew that if I had to do a book, they would understand who I am. And that's, I'll be very honest, that's the main reason we even came up with a book, because I managed to find a team that really, like, they knew me, you know, they really understood me. And the translation is it's always a journey, I want to say. I want to say, like, you know, things are not as easy as just taking something and plonking it on a page. It was a true journey for this, or to do this book. But I love that they kind of held my hand through every step, but also they were very open to me saying, hey, that doesn't really feel like me, or yes, this feels like me.
See, authenticity is key, and that comes across online, and that comes across on the book, and it really does capture exactly that. It captures you. Now, lifestyle, and I find this so interesting, can be so pretentious. You avoid this just because you're not a pretentious person or something you're conscious of.
I think the hardest thing for me is kind of going, how do I present a certain person online and then another person, you know, like that I actually am? And I can't do it. I've just got to go, like, this is how I am. This is how life is. This is how life goes. I'm just going to show life in its real, raw form. And I don't think, you know, a lot of people are able to, you know, make a part of themselves that are a certain way for online and a part of themselves that's different, you know? I can't. I just can't. I think I'm too messy a person to be able to do it.
Messy leads to creativity, which we love. Talking of love, food is your love language. You've created your own foodie language. Fakeaways, flavor bombs. Was this spontaneous?
You know, it was actually a play. When I would sit with my team, we would sit and just think of these random things and go, this really works, or that really works. But it's almost as if the way, I mean, I don't know how it happened, but one day I said Dunzo's in one of my videos, and now it's become the thing. It's become something I, like, if I don't say it, people go, wait, the video didn't happen, you know? It's just, we just have fun. You know what I think the big thing is? Fun. Mm. It's like, if you're having fun doing the thing you do, everything just flows, you know? And if you make a mistake and suddenly it becomes a word, it is what it is. I mean, femme cakes are technically pancakes. But a friend of mine, you know, messed up and said, you know, he was trying to tell a friend of ours to taste it. And instead of saying, have you tasted femmes' pancakes? He just went, have you tasted femme cakes? And he went, femme cakes? Femme cakes? Everyone calls it femme cakes now.
That's going to be my next recipe.
And it's just normal pancakes condensed milk and coconut.
Yummy. Friends and families clearly influenced your cooking. Are there any special cookbooks you keep close, or recipes that have been handed down?
So many. So my mummy was very much a cookbook collector. Mm. So she would buy cookbooks from, I don't know, from ages ago. And not just cookbooks, right? Magazines. She would love collecting magazines, cutting out recipes to try. But, you know, my mom was very much a traditional Indian home cook. Mm. So, I mean, there's not a home in South Africa. There's no Indian home in South Africa that cannot have a copy of the Indian Delights. That's a staple in every home. But it's the classic. It's the traditional. It's every traditional recipe you can think of. But my mother would buy community books. And do you remember the Australian weeklies?
Yes.
It used to be this Australian weekly that my mum used to love. It had the best bakes.
And she'd
my mum would always start us off in baking. And an Australian weekly used to be this, like, the ultimate baking magazine cookbook type thing.
I would see them in secondhand shops. Did your mum get them?
New.
Wow.
In those days, they used to sell it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, if you see one in a secondhand shop, I'd say grab it, because those recipes are actually gold. They're so good. It's so good. They I would say flop proof ish, but yeah, try them. I still subscribe, by the way, to Australian Weekly.
That's amazing. I think this, your book's going to become a standard. And you know what I loved? It's when you said, I mean, I'm back to the one recipe that I make. You said, if your dough is too squishy, then just add some more, which is, it was as if you were talking to me. Then just add a little bit more of flour, but be careful, don't make it more than, and I'm looking at the recipe.
Don't make it more than half a cup.
Yes, exactly. And it feels like you there, and that for me is a success of a cookbook. is that you feel somebody's talking to you throughout the baking process.
Thank you. I wanted it to feel like I'm there with you making the food. That's how I do my videos. Mm-hmm. I want you to feel like I'm in your kitchen. We're cooking together. We've got this, you know?
Yeah.
And I wanted my book to be an extension of that. Like, you don't have to still look for the recipe. Here's the recipe. It's here. Here's a video you can watch. I wanted it to be ingredients you could find easily.
Yes.
You know?
Mm. Which dish in the book holds the strongest memory for you? Was that a very unfair question?
Sure. It's a very, very unfair question because there's so many of my aunts. There are so many of my aunts in that book.
Mm.
There's one recipe that I would say it's a very difficult recipe. I don't recommend that you start off trying this recipe.
Mm.
I think this is a recipe that just comes with time and practice. And it's my nani's millet bread, and it's something that we make for Ramadan.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just one of those savory things. But if there's one that holds the bestest of, like, you know, childhood memories, there's so many memories in that book. But the childhood one would be mince curry. The mince curry and peas is something I used to, you know, when my parents used to go down to Pietermaritzburg on holiday, my dad used to pack us in the car and take us. And we would wake up in the morning and my aunts and everybody would be around the dining table because they'd all come and visit because my mom's come from Joburg.
Mm-hmm.
And all my aunts already lived in Durban. So it would really be an occasion that she came down, you know, for a holiday.
Oh.
They would all be there at my granny's place for breakfast, having mince curry with peas and roti for breakfast. Because, you know, we used to eat food for breakfast.
It's beautiful.
Mince curry and roti with, like, fresh hot tea and eggs, onion eggs. Best memories. Best memories.
And you've made new memories in your book.
For me.
You've made new memories. Laughter, love, and beautiful food. No fuss. No pretense. Thank just you. Damn good food. Well done, Fems.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you so much, Vanessa. I told you guys, and Fems, I told you guys, isn't there passion for food? It's just kind of, not only did it make me hungry, but it made me want to go out and buy that book, and it made me want to bake again. I haven't baked in a really long time. I used to bake a lot, but time isn't always on my side, and it really made me want to bake again, especially those biscuits. If Vanessa's husband says they're the best biscuits he's ever tasted, that sounds like a good recipe to me. It also, Fems makes me feel like her recipes are foolproof, and even a fool like me can kind of get them right, as long as I don't choose salt instead of sugar, like it's happened before. Anyway, that's not a story for today. So that was our exclusive book segment. Next up, the Jonathan Ball team are here, and they're going to tell us what they've got coming up.
101.3 FM. This is Fine Music Radio.
Welcome back. You are tuned into Book Choice on Fine Music Radio. My name is Paige Nick. I am the host of this show every second Monday. We're in our new slot on a Monday. This is Publisher's Choice, which means we're joined by three of South Africa's top publishers. And we've already just had South Africa's number one bookseller, Exclusive Books, on the show. And they're telling us what they're very excited about and what we should be excited about coming into Exclusive Books bookshelves in the upcoming months. So Shakti is here from Jonathan Ball. They're the publisher who are up next. And Shakti is going to introduce her team herself. And she does such a great job that I'm going to leave her to it. I want to listen to what they've got offered, and I'm going to pop in with my own opinion here and there. Welcome to the show, Shakti and the Jonathan Ball team.
Hello to all the lovely listeners of Fine Music Radio. And thank you, Paige, for that lovely introduction as always. This is Shakti back from Jonathan Ball Publishers. For this Publisher's Choice segment, we wanted to share a glimpse into some of the local publishing gems that are in the pipeline. We asked our fantastic publishing team across the adult and children's local fiction and non-fiction departments to spotlight some of the books that will be making an appearance on a shelf near you very soon. Here is our wonderful publishing team who will be taking us through some of these titles. Stevlin Vermeulen, publisher of Quella Fiction, Etienne Blumhoff, our head of fiction, Simone Huff, children's publisher for Tafelberg and Human and Rousseau, Elisma van Staden, our children's book editor, who focuses on mass market kids' books under the Human and Rousseau imprint, Magdalene Sneeman, our non-fiction editor, and we've also got an exclusive snippet from two authors, Lalama Marley, who is the author behind the book Held, which will be published in June, and Anna-Marie van Niekerk, the author of Under a Blood-Red Sky, which will be published in May. Enjoy and happy reading from the Jonathan Ball team.
Hi, I'm Steve Vermeulen, the fiction publisher at Quella Books, and this is just a quick snippet of what local offerings are coming out in the next quarter. In April, we have a debut offering by Jean-Paul Willemse. It is titled Ashes of Euphoria, which is a gripping novel set in the gritty backdrop of Kryfontein in Cape Town. This novel follows three complex characters, Jamil, his cousin Zaid, and their friend Stacy. And then when what seems like a golden business opportunity for the trio turns into a nightmare, their lives are torn apart in ways they never saw coming. Jamil and Stacy will learn that every choice has consequences and that redemption comes at a price. Mia Arden, author of Mermaid Fillet, calls this novel crushing, genuine, incisive. It is a masterfully crafted story. It's action-packed and balances gut-wrenching tragedy with unexpected moments of wit and humor. Jean-Paul is definitely a stellar new voice on the South African literary scene. And then, in May, is Bonnie Espy's second novel, Lifting the Lid. Captivating characters Winifred and Sylvie are back in fine form in the standalone sequel to Making a Killing. This time, the two aunties are keeping one eye open for the menacing villager who knows too much, and another on the dismal bank balance of their bookshop cafe, the novel Eatery. Their side hustle isn't exactly legal, and now someone knows their secret. And just as the tension threatens to boil over, news breaks that a wine-themed reality TV show is coming to town. The villagers are in a froth of excitement, giving the two friends a momentary reprieve. But the cameras bring their own complications. And then there's Sylvie, who's convinced that the slick presenter is greasier than her freshest fetcook. And this novel has an ending that I didn't even see coming. Lifting the Lid is filled with sharp wit, layered characters, and a setting that simmers with charm and danger. Besides, in a village like Rivierswallei, nothing stays buried forever.
I'm Etienne Bloemhof, head of fiction at Jonathan Ball Publishers. And there's a title that I would like to focus on that I'm extremely excited about. It's Michiel Heinz's 11th novel called The Wildest Beauty. It's just been released, and I'm very happy about the fact that it's been nominated as the News 24 Book of the Month. Now, Michiel Heinz, of course, needs no introduction. He's a very well-known local author, academic, as well as a brilliant translator. And I do believe this novel is a career highlight. I know that's saying a lot because Michiel is the esteemed author of titles such as The Children's Day, Lost Ground, Poor Season for Whales, and Each Mortal Thing. But I believe that The Wildest Beauty is something completely different. I think it's a truly remarkable novel. Danny Murray is the twin brother of the beautiful and talented Charlie. The Wildest Beauty puts the focus on Danny's account of their childhood up to their eventual enlistment in the First World War. It follows their course from the placidly peaceful Stellenbosch school days to ultimately the Battle of Delville Wood. And Danny keeps a loving but half-resentful eye on his brother. The novel is also an intimate account of a small group of friends and family, inter alia the loving parents left behind in Stellenbosch during wartime, and then there is Danny's life-changing encounter in the darkened streets of wartime London with a wryly cynical, battle-scarred officer. In the midst of the greatest conflict in history, facing the wild beauty of the abyss of unmeaning, Danny discovers the power of love between friends, family, and even foes. Mike Nichol calls this novel an extraordinary work of fiction, both in the depth of its creativity and its imaginative scope. And the writing, well, the writing is superb. And I'm definitely not going to differ from that opinion. Apart from being a vivid account of the First World War, especially focusing on the Battle of Delville Wood, this novel is also a collection of lucid philosophical discussions about a range of topics from love, death, the very meaning of life, to relationships involving family, friends, comrades, to war, and the complexities of social interaction. In conclusion, The Wildest Beauty is one of those books that does not come along often. It's compulsive reading, the characters are remarkable, and it's one of the absolute literary highlights of the year.
Thank you so much, Etienne. I wanted to jump in here and tell you all that I am a massive Michiel Heinz fan. I've read everything he's ever written. I think Etienne said this is number 11, potentially. I've read them all. Michiel Heinz, for me, is what we call an auto-buy author. I will buy whatever he writes, no matter what it's about. So I'm not normally so big on historical fiction, and I don't really like war books. But as soon as I see that Michiel Haines has written it, I'm in there, I'm buying it, and I know that I'm pretty much guaranteed to enjoy it. So I'm very excited. A Michiel Haines novel only probably comes out every maybe 3 years or so, every 3 or 4 years. So this is a big deal on the South African literary calendar this year. And you should watch this space, because this Michiel Haines novel is likely to be on all the awards, long lists and short lists this year. That's normally where he lands. So thank you for that. Right, back to the Jonathan Ball team. What else do you have for us?
Two delightful new children's books by debut author Tandi Gqaba are being released in April. Tando and the Magic Window and Tando Goes to the Sea are the first two books in a series about a curious boy with an extraordinary imagination. Through his bedroom window, which becomes a magic portal, Tando transforms everyday views into thrilling adventures that take him to bustling cities, mysterious jungles, underwater worlds, and even outer space. This beautifully illustrated story celebrates the boundless creativity of childhood and encourages young readers to discover the magic in their everyday surroundings. In Tando Goes to the Sea, Tando embarks on a beach holiday with his mom. Armed with flippers and goggles, he dives into the ocean's depths, discover a vibrant underwater world filled with colorful fish, playful dolphins, friendly starfish, and cheeky crabs. The lovely illustrations by Vian Olofsson make these books perfect for 2 to 5 year olds. And these heartwarming tales about curiosity, wonder, and the incredible power of imagination are the perfect stories for parents and kids to enjoy together.
Hi everyone! With the Soccer World Cup coming up in June and Bafana Bafana back in the spotlight, people are definitely talking about soccer right now. I'm very excited to tell you about our new book, The World of Soccer, that will be in bookstores this April. Whether your kids are playing for their school team or they're just obsessed with the big stars like Messi and Ronaldo, it's a great time to actually get a handle on the game. What I like about this book in particular is that it goes way beyond the basic soccer info to give you some insider knowledge. For the kids on the field, it breaks down many of the pro skills. But honestly, even the adults will learn something. Like, did you know there used to be a stadium in Singapore that actually floated on the sea? You'll also read lots about South Africa's own soccer history and national teams, including Banyana Banyana. Perhaps my favorite thing about this book is that it shows that this game really is for absolutely everyone. So if you want to know all about what's happening when the tournament kicks off, look out for The World of Soccer in bookstores this April.
Thank you so much, Elisma, for telling us about The World of Soccer, which is going to be in bookstores in April. I haven't heard so much about the Soccer World Cup that's coming up later this year. Maybe I'm just traveling the wrong circles because I'm not such a football fan. But that's going to be a big deal this year. And I really like the sound of this book. I think they're smart to bring it out this year. I think kids will love it, adults will love it, and it just sounds like a really smart book buy to me. Right, back to you, Jonathan Ball. What else do you have for us?
Hello, I'm Magdalene Snyman, a nonfiction publisher for Tafelberg Books at Jonathan Ball Publishers. I'm so excited to recommend the book 101 Remarkable South African Women by Professor Lizette Raba today. This book is a celebration and an overview of the women who have shaped our nation. With International Women's Day happening this month, it feels especially fitting to spotlight a book that honors the lives and legacies of women who made a big difference in our society. In this book, you'll find activists, artists, scientists, businesswomen, and community leaders, a huge variety of women from all walks of life and many different periods of history. The book includes profiles of familiar historical figures, while also introducing some we should know better, and many whose stories have too often been sidelined or forgotten. As both an inspiring celebration of our foremothers and an excellent starting point for further exploration, this book is ideal for readers seeking to understand our past and our ongoing struggle for gender equality. Both inspiring and accessible, 101 Remarkable South African Women by Lizette Raba is a must-read this March.
Thank you so much, Magdalene Snyman. I'm so glad you chatted to us today about 101 Remarkable South African Women by Lizette Raba. I have the book right here. Look, you can even hear it. This is my version of an audiobook. You can hear the book. I have it. I'm holding it in my hands. I've been dipping in and out of it. And it's about 101 remarkable South African women from prehistory to the present. Of course, the truth is in South Africa, we have 100 million and one remarkable South African woman. I think just about every South African woman is remarkable. She has to be to make it in this country. But it's just a great book. I'm looking here to see who, you know, these are some of the chapters that I've been dipping into. There's a chapter on Lady Anne Barnard, Marie Koopman de Wet. Olive Schreiner is a fantastic chapter on Olive Schreiner, on Emily Hobhouse, on Nokutela Mdima Dube. So just it goes on and on. There are 3 pages of contents in this book. And I feel like this is a book that every home in South Africa should have on their coffee table. You can dip into it and out of it. Thuli Madonsela is here and she's a legend. So I just think Albertina Sisulu is in. So I'm not going to name all of them because we'll be here all day. Oh, Helen Suzman. So many that I still want to read. It's one of those books that you just pick up, turn to a page, read it, find yourself enriched, marvel at the remarkable woman we have in this country, and then move on. Okay, that's enough from me. I want to go back to the Jonathan Ball team. I think you've got 2 more titles for us. Let's hear all about them.
Hi, my name is Lula Mamali, the author of my first book, a memoir titled Held. Held is a book about how an ordinary family from Ekurhuleni navigates the complicated social politics of Cape Town, grief, and how love has always been the hand that's held us steady. Part of why I wrote this book was to maybe adjust the lens a little bit, because I found stories about the townships are usually told from the outside looking in. I wanted to tell it from the inside, from the perspective of an 80s baby who actually grew up in the space. So if you've ever wanted to understand the other side of South Africa beyond what you see on the headlines, I think this book is for you. So get it.
I'm Annemarie van Niekerk, speaking to you from the Netherlands, where I've been living with my Dutch husband and son for 22 years. My recent book, Under a Blood Red Sky, was first published in the Netherlands, which was awarded the Henriette Roland Holst Prize. An Afrikaans version followed, and now it has been translated into English by award-winning translator and author Michiel Heinz. How did this book begin? On the evening of 15 August 2015, just as I switched off my bedside lamp, my mobile phone lit up. It was a message from South Africa, a message that made my head spin. Ruben and Hermin were murdered on Pineville a few hours ago, I read. I laid my heavy head down on the pillow. My good old friend and his 88-year-old mother murdered on their farm. The farm where I so often stayed, beautiful and serene, at the foot of the majestic Drakensberg. It was as if, in a single moment, my whole world came to a standstill, not only because of the murders, brutal murders, but because the violence in South Africa, like a runaway veld fire, continued to rage, furiously, mercilessly, sparing no one. It seems to be rooted in South African soil, part of our history, and also my own personal story. I can no longer set it aside, I realized, lying awake that night, wondering how it had come to this. I had to return to South Africa, not only for the funerals, but also, painful as it might be, to find answers to my questions. A few days later, I was on the road from my birthplace, Port Elizabeth, to Ida, the little hamlet near Elliot, where it all happened, traveling on my own. Quote, I need time to feel the heartbeat of this country again, to allow the stories of this land to speak to me again. I have to account to myself for what is happening, the people torn apart and paralyzed by crime and violence. How is it possible that the country lost its bearings again after a brief interlude when it seemed as if the advent of democracy could heal the old wounds? But I also want to know what my own standing is, my place. I, formed in the belly of this damaged country, I, who was and still am part of it and witness to it, Under a Blood Red Sky recounts my voyage into the history of South Africa, but also into my own past, a story of trying to navigate through incidents of violence, not only political, but also personal. I invite you to join me on this journey.
Thank you so much to the Jonathan Ball team. I want to tell you that all of these publishers and exclusive books are, of course, on social media. I highly recommend that you follow them. They're always talking about what they've got coming out. They give away a lot of books, and more than books. Some of them even give away retreats. They give away all sorts of experiences. They'll also tell you about what events they have coming up, and that's always a joy. There might be an event in your area where you can go to a free event at your local exclusive books, have a glass of wine, listen to an author or a panel conversation. And that's always really fun. It's a lovely thing to do during the week. Actually, at Exclusive Books at the Waterfront, they have them on the weekend as well. So that's really fun.
FMR.
Welcome back. You are tuned into Book Choice, our Publisher's Choice edition, right here on Fine Music Radio. My name is Paige Nick. I am your host for this show, which is happily sponsored by Exclusive Books. All the books on today's show are available at your local Exclusive Books. Whether you want to go into a bricks and mortar store, they're all over the country, and hold the book, smell the book, find the book, pick the book, or go online, tap away, find the book you want, put it in your shopping cart, and it'll be delivered to your door within days. So Exclusive Books can do all that for you, and they do all this for us too. So thank you for your partnership, Exclusive Books. We love working with you. Next up, we're joined by the Penguin Random House team. They are the second publishers to join us on today's show. And it's a slightly different format in this one. Viz Chetty, who is from Penguin Random House, is going to be chatting to our very favorite Twangi Kalula. And they're going to be talking about what Viz has got coming up, what Penguin Random House have got coming up. They're going to jump right in with a buzzy new title from James Patterson. That's a name you have to recognize. And Viola Davis. So two of those names, very recognizable. One is an author. One, I'll jog your memory, Viola Davis, is a very famous actress. And now they're writing together. I'm curious.
Viz Chetty, it's great to be back with you. So this month we're starting off with a blockbuster collaboration between actress Viola Davis and James Patterson. And I'm usually skeptical about these kind of celebrity collaborations, but I've read Viola's memoir and it was incredible. I mean, it was as gritty as her performances. So can you tell me about this new project?
Hi, Twangi, and hi to the listeners. Yes, this one is already getting a lot of buzz, I want to say. And I know I'm a salesman, so I'm going to say that. But from what I'm hearing in-house, people are talking, and I've read it, and it's wonderful, absolutely wonderful. Judge Stone by James Patterson and Viola Davis. As you all know, I mean, Patterson has been with us for many, many years. He's written countless different series. And usually when something takes a hold, he builds it into another series, right? Which I can see this happening in this book very easily.
Okay, so it's got legs.
And this character. Yeah, I think this will have legs. So Judge Stone, she is a small town judge in this little town of about 3,000 people. And she's, she's strong and she's at the same time, she's very vulnerable. And she, you know, no judge is ever going to make everybody happy, as they say. Mm. And the case, she takes on this really interesting case, a really sad case, actually, about a young girl who was raped and she is now pregnant and she gets help from a local doctor. Mm. And it's small town Union Springs, Alabama. So the laws are different back then. And she has to sort of, you know, she has to defend, she has to preside over this very, very particular case. Mm. So, if you think about Roe vs. Wade and that whole saga, mm. you know, it falls right into that narrative. And it's just wonderful. It's got a great pace. It's got the storyline's great. The characters are wonderful. Yeah. I think it checked all the boxes. And I'm a salesman, so I'm going to tell you, the book's amazing. But what I heard is, and this is, if you're going to consume it this way, no problem. The audiobook as well. Viola actually narrates the audiobook and people are just raving about that because she's such a professional.
She really is. I think she even narrated and won a Grammy for her audiobook of her memoir as well. Definitely one to look out for. And then we touched on the far-flung life last time, but we ran out of time because your list was so packed. And if I remember correctly, it was author ML Steadman and she was taking us to the center of an earth Australian family drama, and it was set in the 1950s. Yep. So can you tell us more about that one?
Yeah, definitely. So A Far-Flung Life by ML Steadman. She wrote the book The Light Between Oceans. Mm. And a lot of the readers would remember that. And it was just such a wonderful book. It was made into a movie, which was also brilliant. It had Michael Fassbender and Alicia Vikander, I think, was in it. So this one is set in Australia, in the outback, in the late 1950s, I want to say 1958. The story surrounds this one family who own a sheep farm out there in the outback, and they call it a station. And it's the kind of place that where there's just, you know, it's just one farm is here and another farm is way down there. So it's a community, but they, you know, they're quite far apart at the same time. And in the very beginning, at least in the first 10 pages, something really horrific happens to this family where it impacts everything. So it follows the story of one of the McBride brothers and his sister Rose and the mother. And later on, there's a child that comes in as well. So A Far-Flung Life, for me, it has to be one of the best books I've read this year already. And I think just watch out for this one. I think it's going to get a lot of play in the media and on, and when the awards season comes around. It's so, so, so good. It's well written. It's got a nice flow to it. You really empathize with every character. It's one of those books, and she does this very well, where she makes you feel a little uncomfortable throughout the book. And she did that with the previous one as well. Sort of like what McEwan does as well. Ian McEwan's another one that does that, where he just makes you feel a little uncomfortable. And I think for artists, that's what you should be doing.
I've heard it described as To Kill a Mockingbird for the 21st century. So it's definitely one to look out for.
That is a good one. I like that. I'm going to use that if you don't mind.
Absolutely. It's all yours. And ML Stedman isn't the only author who's taking us back to the 50s. Karen Swan is also taking us back there, but this time it's 50s Italy in her new novel, Three Summers.
Three Summers, yes. Karen Swan has been published by some wonderful publishers over in the past, and they've done such a great job with her. And for this book, this is our first book publishing her. So we're really, really happy to have her with us for this book. I read a comparison. It said, if you love Lucinda Riley and Santa Montefiore, you'll love this book, you know. So I think that's pretty apt. I think that's pretty accurate. So it's set in the late 1950s. Funnily enough, it's around the same time that the Stedman book is set. Yes. But this is set in Puglia in Italy, which is right down on the coast there. And the main character is Raffaella Parisi, and her, she goes by the name of Raffa in the book. And, you know, she's basically works in this sort of summer town and little small fishing village, and people come there. She's dating a guy by the name of Fon Gianelli. And it's such an escapist read when you hear all these names, isn't it? but there's one person she actually longs to be with and she really wants. So even though she's dating this guy, she's, you know, in love with this other guy, Cosimo, and he's part of this very wealthy sort of Franchetti family. And you know, they've been around for ages, very wealthy family. And then the story goes a year up from 57 to 58, and that's the summer that everything changes. And then from there something happens to the Franchetti family at that time. And then years later, in 1961, these two, Raffa and Cosi, meet again, and their lives just collide, and it just turns out to be, it's all about longing and want and love and unrequited love and all these things. So it's just such a great escapist read. Absolutely. Karen Swan does that so well. Yeah, and she always puts you in really exotic, beautiful locations, and I think tourism goes up in these places when she talks.
Absolutely. It's a holiday. I feel like I'm on holiday just listening to you talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, so if you're like sitting poolside or you're down at the beach, whatever, you pick this book up. I promise you, it's going to be such a great read. Even if you're on your couch, I think it'll be wonderful. So look out for that one.
Will do.
Three Summers is the new book published by Penguin Random House.
It sounds good. And then the other thing that I do love is when a local author gets global prominence or gets a global publishing deal. And Penny Hoare is making us proud, and she's got a new one with you guys, Women and Her Stars.
Penny, if you're listening, I just want to say we love you so, so much. and never, never leave us. So Caroline Herschel, right? Now, this woman lived in the late 18th century. She was regarded as one of the first female astronomers who actually made a living out of it, you know. She was a pioneer of her time. As like I said, it's a theme with Penny's books, and I love it, of women who sort of went against the grain and broke out of the mold and achieved great things and got recognition eventually for those things.
Yeah.
And Caroline Herschel is one of those women. She came from a little town called Bath, and she sings, and she, you know, she's this young, very ambitious girl, and she she was destined for a life of living in Bath and just being there and looking after her mother, and her mother's sort of sickly, so she wants to just escape that whole life that everybody told her she needed to be living.
Yeah.
Follows her brother William and her other brother Alex were astronomers, and they built telescopes, and they were in that field, and at that time it was fine.
Yeah.
Until William gets appointed as the king's astronomer. So she moves from Bath to Windsor to follow William, who she gets along very well with for the most part. And she basically serves him and helps him throughout his new job, his new career there. And then as time goes by, she obviously gets more and more skilled at this, and she becomes more and more fascinated by the stars and astronomy, and she starts to sort of break away from William in a way where she becomes her own thing.
Yeah.
She becomes her own astronomer on her own, which is so, so cool and powerful. And this book will just take you on that, her journey, you know, her life and what she escaped and what she eventually became. But over and above that, there's a cast of wonderful characters. You just fall in love with them.
I'm also very interested in your next local title. So I've met many men over the years who were in the SADF as conscripts when they were younger. And it's always fascinated me that nobody ever tells stories about that time or talks about it. And understandably, it's fraught with historical complexity and trauma. But you've got an author, I'm going to butcher his name, he's also another local author, John Gutscher, who's decided to share his border war stories in Dog Tag Memories. Tell me all about it.
Yeah, you got the name just right, I think. Dog Tag Memories. We've published a few books like this, Twanji, in the past, and people still look for them and they read them and they love them. And Dog Tag Memories follows John's life. He was conscripted when he was 17 years old. He was this carefree 17-year-old in 1977. You know, tranquil school days. All of a sudden, he's thrown into training, and he is basically becomes a parabet.
Yeah.
And John is court-martialed shortly after qualifying when he gets into a fight with another soldier. And from there, he gets chucked into infantry battalion, which is the sort of standard sort of battalion there, with, you know, much lower level to what he was when he qualified for. He competes for 5 months of training. And then after that, he's sent to the border for the rest of his 2-year national service, followed by several other camps. But through all that, he takes you through those 2 years. He takes you through all the things that he went through in detention, and all the things that the soldiers lived through at that time, you know, boredom, punishment, mishaps, clashes with enemy guerrillas, all the grueling stuff. Some of it's funny. It's not all dark, I can tell you that.
I've heard it's quite humorous. I'm really looking forward to reading that. The last title on our list for the month sounds like harrowing to me. I think sometimes grief is unimaginable, and Cape Town writer Dominique Olivier has written her account, and apparently it's a somewhat inspiring memoir, but it also sounds like a tearjerker. Can you tell me about her book?
Oh my goodness. I know, I read this book and I was literally in tears in some of the scenes in that book, especially the early parts of the book when the whole thing happened. And if, just to fill the readers in, she lost her husband and her child in a horrific truck car accident way back in 2022, I think it was. And she had a child with her at home, and they just never returned home. And it was all the things that happened after that, dealing with this. One thing I found so interesting about the book was she was so empathetic and so compassionate to not just her own suffering, but other people's suffering and what they have to go through. And she basically says in the book, you know, it's all relative. You know, your nightmare doesn't necessarily have to be someone else's, but even their small mishap to you might be their nightmare. You know, so it's that sort of empathy that she brings through and all the lessons from loss, like the title says, that she learned. So it's very positive ultimately in the end. She's an amazing woman. But when you read this book, you get a real insight into her. And she writes really, really well. The book's beautifully written. You can't go wrong with this one. So Lessons from Loss by Dominique Olivier. Big book for us. We think this one's going to do wonderful things. If you like books like Paul Kalanithi's When Breath Becomes Air and Educated by Tara Westover, if you like that kind of book, this would really resonate. I think this would be a fantastic read.
Perfect. We're going to have to leave it there, but you've given us a great balance of local and international reads to take us to the end of this quarter. So thanks, Viz. Great chatting to you again.
Thank you, Twanji.
That was,
and thank you to the listeners.
That was Viz Chetty giving us a look at what Penguin Random House has in store for us this month.
Thank you so much, Viz Chetty and Twangi Kalula. What a wonderful conversation, and so nice to hear about what you've got coming up. I'm very excited about a lot of these titles. One that really jumped out at me is the one by Penny Hoare. So Penny Hoare is a fantastic South African novelist, and she's a journalist too. And we talked about her on the show so many times because I think this is her fourth historical fiction novel. And this one, A Woman and Her Stars, is a book I am really excited about. It's not quite out yet. It will be any day now. Ask at your local exclusive books. This book is selling locally and internationally, and Penny does a fantastic job. She writes about powerful women with very powerful storytelling. So bring on A Woman and Her Stars. I'm really into that one. Next up, we're joined by the Pan Macmillan team. I told you before, but they are my publishers, so I'm always proud to have them on the show. My new novel is called Book People, and you can find it in all good bookstores and especially in all good exclusive bookstores. Kelly Norwood-Young is here from Pan Macmillan to tell us what they've got going on. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Publisher's Choice. At Pan Macmillan, we have an absolutely fantastic lineup of new titles out early this year, and I'm so excited to share them with you today. First up, we have Meet the Newmans by Jennifer Niven. If you've been looking for a book to fill the hole left by lessons in chemistry, this is it. Set in Los Angeles in 1964 and follows the Newmans, who are America's favorite TV family. On screen, of course, they're absolutely perfect. But off screen, they're hiding some explosive secrets. The mother, who teaches American women how to cook on Friday nights, is actually someone who can't cook to save her own life. And the father has a secret burning a hole inside him, while the younger son is secretly getting into rock and roll. It's glamorous, it's nostalgic, and it's a really clever story with a sharp feminist twist. And it's all about the dual lives that we lead. Next, for our nonfiction fans, we have Enough, Your Health, Your Weight, and What It's Like to Be Free. This is Oprah Winfrey's latest book. She's co-authored it with Dr. Ania Jastreboff from the Yale School of Medicine, so it comes with quite a lot of evidence and research behind it. Oprah is perhaps the most public personality regarding her weight struggles. In this book, she discusses how new weight loss medications have actually changed her life by quieting the food noise around her. The book delves into the biology of weight and it explains why obesity is not a choice or a matter of willpower. For the thriller readers, we have the unputdownable My Husband's Wife by Alice Feeney. This book has been topping the South African fiction charts, and anyone who reads it really is saying they cannot put it down. So we are so excited about this book. The premise is terrifying. An artist comes home from a run to find that her key no longer fits in the front door. A woman who looks eerily similar to her answers the door, and her husband insists that this stranger is his wife. The tagline actually says it all. One house, one husband, two women, someone is lying. And I'll leave it at that.
Kelly, that premise, I had to just dip in here. I need this book. You know, I have a heaving pile of two reads, but I cannot wait to read this one. I mean, how is that premise? It's just so Moorish. I really want to read it. I know I should be stricter, but I'm going to get this one, and it's going straight to the top of the pile. Thank you, Kelly, for filling us in on My Husband's Wife by Alice Feeney. That will definitely be one of my next two reads. Listener, I hope that whet your appetite as much as it whet mine. Okay, back to you, Kelly. What else do you have for us?
We're also incredibly excited about a new release coming this March, Rachel Khaleesi's deeply personal memoir, Falling Forward, for every woman who's had to begin again. Written with Zeebo Sithole, Rachel is releasing this book alongside her highly anticipated documentary series, also called Falling Forward. The book invites you to look beyond her public image and really understand Rachel as a person. She keeps it real. She takes us all the way through her childhood, the realities of motherhood, of marriage, her journey with faith, the way she's found purpose in philanthropy, and of course, all the complexities that come with living life under constant public scrutiny. It's a really powerful, moving story about reclaiming your identity, your voice, courage, and of course, finding the strength to begin again. Finally, I want to talk to you about a brilliant new crime thriller from one of South Africa's most acclaimed authors, Mike Nichol. It's called Falls the Shadow, and it introduces a new character named Captain Zara Duane, a single mom and a kayaker who's known by her colleagues as the Jackal. She heads up the internal crime unit in Cape Town, and so what that means is that her job is to police the police. So this book has a lot of themes around state capture, and I won't reveal much more. You'll need to read it. But what you will find very interesting is that Mike brings a lot of rich literary background into this fast-paced thriller. The title itself comes from T.S. Eliot's poem, The Hollow Men. And the relationship between the villain, who is a paraplegic state security agency member named Colonel Kaiser Wula, and his wife is heavily based on Shakespeare's Macbeth. So you don't have to know these texts to read the novel, but if you do, then it just adds another level of enjoyment for you. There's even a witch figure in the story named Luna Maplewood. And here's a fun behind-the-scenes fact. Mike actually stole the character of Luna, who is a white Sangoma in the novel, from a story written by his granddaughter, Kate. Because of that, we have a very special treat for you today. Kate has graciously agreed to read an extract from the book featuring her character, Luna, meeting the menacing Colonel Wula. Following her reading, we'll hear briefly from Mike Nichol himself about the very specific 1990s rock song that inspired his main character. Over to you, Kate.
All the way to the appointment with Luna Maplewood, Colonel Kaiser Wula stays engrossed in his iPad. Only when the driver does a slow trawl down a suburban street does he look up. Either side, gabled houses set back behind front gardens. No one around. The driver stops the black Merc at a driveway gate, says, "It's this one, Colonel." Colonel Kaiser Wula gazes on a stone path between rose beds. A Victorian house, two bay windows either side the front door. Before he can move, the door opens. A woman stands there, raises a hand in greeting. She must have been waiting at the window. Colonel Wula doesn't know if he should be flattered or wary. In his experience, those who wait, wait with bad intent. The driver pushes him up the garden path. The woman standing, smiling at the steps of her stoop. She wears bright blue Skechers, grey jeggings, a junky jersey. Her hair top knotted, the ends strung with beads. Looks to be no more than early 30s. He'd imagined an older woman, some rich colonial type gone native in African print dresses, leather sandals. He raises a hand in greeting. "At last I get to meet you, Colonel," says Luna Maplewood, all smiles and happiness. "I've heard so much from Lady." Then her hand goes to her mouth, her eyes suddenly bright. Oh, wow, awesome things going to happen to you, that's hectic. How exciting, come in. "I'm sorry, what are you saying? What awesome things? Come in, I will tell you all."
Thanks, Kate, and I'm really glad to be able to get a word in edgeways. It's to say that I owe much in this novel to a group called the Four Non-Blondes and their song What's Up, which gave me kind of insight into Zara's character and allowed me to get to an emotional depth inside her. The group formed in the late 1980s and lasted for a mere few years. And in the early 1990s, they had broken up, but they recorded some really great songs. One of them, and the one that once you've heard it, it's not going to leave your head, is a song called What's Up. And is a song called What's Up. So that's what social media does for you these days. Anyway, it is one of the best songs that I'd heard in a long time. Another two that they do are Spaceman and Dear Mr. President.
Thank you. 25 years and my life is still trying to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination. I realized quickly when I knew I should that the world was made up of this brotherhood of man, for whatever that means. Into a crisis times when I'm lying in bed just to get it all out what's in my head. And I am feeling a little peculiar. And so I wake in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath.
Was What's Up by Four Non Blondes, which Mike Nicol so cleverly wove into the show because he's woven it into his new book, Falls the Shadow, which I have read. It's a great skopskitten donner. I say about this book, I really hope Mike Nicol doesn't get pulled over by the cops this year because he really gives it to them in this book. You are tuned into Book Choice, Publisher's Choice on Fine Music Radio. My name is Paige Nick. We've just heard from three of South Africa's top publishers and South Africa's number one bookseller. And that's our show for this week. We hope you enjoyed it and found lots of things to read. I want to thank all our publishers, Twangi Kalula and Vanessa Levenstein for joining us to interview the publishers. We want to thank Exclusive Books for sponsoring this show. I want to thank Mzuma Keta for pulling the whole show together. And I want to thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. Until next time, which is Monday, 2 weeks from now, I wish you very happy reading.